Our next guest probably thinks we're really weird now. Paul Hamilton, Sabres reporter, WGR 550. How's it going, Paul?
Well, how are you doing?
We're just debating how to pronounce if you roll the R at the end of El Salvador.
Yes, I heard. you guys weren't too bad at it.
Okay, as long as we get the vote of approval from Paul.
Paul, I promise we're not drinking on the job. We're stone cold sober right now.
Now, if y'all hear some cheering behind me here, I'm at the Yankees Blue Jays game here in Buffalo, and every game they've been here, the Blue Jays I'm talking about, the crowd has really been into it for the Jays, pretty much a sellout for what they can sell, which is around 45%, and that's going up to 90% next week. Except now, during these Yankee games today and yesterday, it's almost completely a Yankee crowd. It sounds like when the Maple Leafs are here for a game against the Sabres, where 60% of the building or 70% of the building are Maple Leaf fans. It's pretty much all Yankee fans here for tonight's game against the Blue Jays, which, by the way, is 1-1 here in the bottom of the fourth.
It's probably a good thing for the Blue Jays in the bullpen, the way that the bullpen has been blowing games these last couple. But I did want to get you on the Buffalo Sabres. They've become a big topic here. A lot of speculation around Sam Reinhart and what his future is. And we know it's unlikely to continue in Buffalo, and the Canucks have been linked to the player as well. What's Kevin Adams thinking here with Sam Reinhart and the steps forward he wants to take with that player?
Well, the Canucks absolutely should be linked to Sam Reinhart because he wants to be play in the West. I mean, there's no question about that. He's fed up in Buffalo. I don't think there's much about Buffalo that he likes or wants to be around. So, you know, I think he's ready to move on. And let's be honest, too. I mean, Buffalo's never offered him a long-term contract. It's always 1 or 2 year deals to a player that every season he's been in the National Hockey League has scored 20 or more goals, except for one. And I think he had 17 that year. So you gotta wonder what he's thinking. It's like, how come other guys are getting these contracts like Jeff Skinner and whatever, but you know, he gets 1 year deals or 2 year deals, and you know, I would imagine he feels disrespected by that. So, you know, now he's 1 year from unrestricted free agency. So if he's not traded, all he's got to do is accept his qualifying offer, play 1 year, and he's gone. I mean, he'll leave for the unrestricted free agency, and the Sabres won't get anything. Now, he was on a 40-goal pace this year. I mean, again, in a shortened season, scored 20. I don't think his value is ever going to be any higher than it is right now. So I think if you're Kevin Adams and Sam Reinhart just is not going to sign a long-term deal with you, I don't think you have a choice. Plus, when are you going to get better value than right now for it? So, you know, I think it's a no-brainer almost that he's got to trade Sam Reinhart, because I would be shocked, and I'm not shocked by much, if he were to sign a 3-, 4-, 5-year deal or 6-year or 8-year or whatever it would be. I just don't see him wanting to do that with the Buffalo Sabres.
And we know in Vancouver, the discussion is, hey, would the Canucks part with a 9th overall pick? But even beyond that is the question of what type of salary would Sam Reinhart accept, and would he take less than Vancouver? Because he made 5.2 this past year. He's going to get the same. He can even go to ARB and try to get even more if he wants, and he would be well-deserving of it. What would the number be, you think, for Sam Reinhart per year on a longer term contract? Is he a guy that views himself as a $7 million and above guy, or could they get him in that $5.5 to $6.5 million range?
I don't think he'd get in the 5.5. It would be close to 7. I wouldn't give him 7. I would say 6.5 to 6.7, 6.8. I think I would hesitate if I were a team to you know, give him $7 million for a contract. But I don't think it would be out of the realm of possibility for it to be around 6.5 or more to get him under the fold. And I don't think that's unfair. I think you're getting a good player. And quite honestly, I think if you're the Vancouver Canucks, you don't know what you're getting with the 9th overall pick, especially in this draft. You may not be even getting a guy that's going to be an NHL player. Who knows? These are 18-year-olds. And you know what you're getting with Sam Reinhart. You're getting a guy who's still improving, who scores 20 or more goals every year. If this would have been an 82-game schedule, he might have scored 40. So he's still maybe on the uprise. I think the Canucks absolutely, if it would take giving up the ninth overall pick, I think that would be a good trade for Vancouver.
It was a great year for him last year, but you know, we especially saw him kind of take off when he had to play center under John Granato. What did you learn about him last year when Jack Eichel went down with injury?
Well, center never worked for him when he came in the league, and they've tried it before. This is the first time it's worked, and I think he had 21, 22 games, something like that, at center. Now, it wasn't always at center, because on the power play, he was on the wing, and then like when the goaltender was pulled, he was on the wing. And so in those games, he had, I believe it was 10 points at center and 9 points on the wing for 19 points. And as I said, I believe it was 21 games that he played. It was something around there. So the production was there. I thought he did very well. The analytics people were in agreement. They thought it went very well from their standpoint, too. So the eye test, he passed the eye test. He passed the analytics test. And it really, I mean, for him to go in there, because Dylan Cousins is going to be, I think, a very, very good NHL player, but he was a rookie. And near the end of the season, he started having his problems after really starting off well. So they needed a guy like Reinhart to be able to step in at center and play the way he did, even though Cousins and Mittelstadt were really starting to blossom as young prospects. So I think that's another reason why I think the Canucks would be getting a good player by giving up your ninth overall pick, because now you're getting a guy who can excel for you at center or could excel for you on the wing.
Final question on Reinhart. I just have one final question. We'll ask some other things, but so on Reinhart here, Paul, you know, you talked about how he hasn't received that long-term commitment from Buffalo, and we know he's a very talented player. Was there any ever questions about him when it comes to maturity or anything like that with the organization? Was there something about him they didn't want to bet on, or is it just, hey, Buffalo doing weird Buffalo things when it comes to the Sabres?
No, he's probably, I've been in this since 1981, and he would be in my top five as most difficult players to deal with. He is not a very nice person when it comes to that. Don Granato claimed he was good with leadership in the locker room. I'm not in the locker room for, especially last year with COVID, but I'm not in there when media is not allowed in there. So I can't tell you if he is good with the young players, if he's not good with the young players, but he always seems like he's in a growly mood, no matter who he's dealing with. I've seen him be extremely rude with team personnel also, with trainers, with equipment people, with PR people, with media. With media, he's just awful. I mean, so, he's not the nicest person in the world. How he acts behind closed doors when we're not around, that I can't tell you.
Paul Hamilton, our guest here on The People's Show. And, it's going to be a crazy offseason for the Sabres. And, of course, Jack Eichel, trade rumors and talk only heating up. What do you what's Kevin Adams looking for? Is it a big-time prospect and a first-round pick, probably plus a roster player as well?
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it right there. I think he would be looking for a high pick, and I think it can't be like the O'Reilly trade. In the O'Reilly trade, they wanted Thomas, and the Blues said no. And the Sabres said, okay, we'll settle for Tage Thompson. You can't do that. Let's say you're dealing with the LA Kings, and there are a lot of reports out there that say the Kings aren't interested in Eichel, but let's just say that they become interested. Quentin Byfield has to be the player coming back to the Sabres, or the Sabres should hang up the phone. It's as simple as that. They're talking to the Chicago Blackhawks, if Kirby Dach isn't the players, you say goodbye. You've got to, I think, get a top prospect like that if you're going to be trading Jack Eichel. And if you don't get it, then you keep him if you have to. I don't think you just say, well, we'll take the best offer and we'll eat it. Then Jack Eichel's got to make a decision if he's going to play or hold out or what he's going to do. But he's in a situation with his contract, too, where if he waits until a year from July 1st, his no movement, complete no movement kicks in, and then he can turn down any trade the Sabres were to have, so he could kind of dictate where he was going to. There are a lot of people who believe that's what Eichel's doing here, because his agent has done it before with the New York Rangers, and there are people that believe that Eichel came out and said what he did because they were trying to make it almost impossible for the Sabres to trade him this year. So then he would stick it out one more year with the Sabres, and then he would have a say in where he would be able to be traded to, just like Taylor Hall did. And the Sabres had a better offer. People say it was from Vegas. I know it was a Western Conference club, but Hall said no. He wanted to be a Bruin, and the Sabres were stuck. So, you know, they had to take the Bruins' offer. They can't let – there's two things. They can't let Reinhart get to unrestricted free agency. They can't let Eichel get to that place where he can say no to a trade. But yet they can't make the trade either. That is, well, we're just going to go with what we can get and it not be a good trade.
One more question here on another young star in Buffalo, Rasmus Dahlin. We're kind of debating the Quinn Hughes contract. I know folks in Colorado are debating the Cale Makar one, but when it comes to Rasmus Dahlin's contract, what does it look like? Because, yeah, last year wasn't a great year. Even the year before that, it was a tough learning curve for the young man. What does that contract look like, Paul?
That's a tough question. We've kicked that around a lot, and I think right now it looks like a bridge deal, unless you're just going to bank on Dahlin and give him that 7 or 8 year deal. And maybe he doesn't want that 7 or 8 year deal. Maybe he wants to get a 3 year contract and be able to play much better than he has and be able to cash in after that contract. So that might be what he wants. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see how that goes. And what would it look like? And the number one overall pick, I think, since the way he played for Team Canada at the World Championship, I think, has been secured by Owen Power. This is something I've been kicking around on our air. What if, all right, you're going to draft Owen Power. What if you take Rasmus Dahlin and look for a top-flight center for him? Like, for example, you call up the Devils. How about Hughes? Dahlin for Hughes. Or call up the Kings, dialing for a Byfield and a pick or something like that. Would you want to do that? Because they've got some good young defensemen in their system. Their forwards, especially if you got to trade Eichel and Reinhardt, they're really, really thin on the forward position. So, you know, that's something that I think at least they could think about. You know, you think about, well, Pierre Turgeon got traded for Pat LaFontaine, so it's not, you know, that you can't. Or Phil Housley got traded for Dale Hawerchuk. I'm talking about Sabre deals. You know, so it's something I think they could think about, especially with some of the good young defensemen they have coming along. Would you want to flip Rasmus Dahlin and only for a very, very good center that maybe projects as a top-line center? It's a youngster.
I could hear the crowd in the background reacting to a great Randall Grichuk catch. Thanks for this,
that
Paul.
That was awesome. I didn't think he was going to get to it. He made a great catch. It reminds me of Jim Edmonds' catch back when he was with the Cardinals.
Thanks for this, Paul. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
Take care.